Good afternoon, everyone. Eric Perez, CEO, Queensland Seafood Industry Association, welcoming you back to our ongoing podcast series. And today we have Jane Lovell, the CEO of Seafood Industry Australia, joining us. How are you, Jane?
I'm very well, Eric. And you?
Mate, I'm living the dream here in Queensland, 37 bloody degrees and all the rest of it. But don't worry about my gripes. The reason today that I wanted to have a chat with you and update the listeners on what's been happening is give us the outline, if you can, of the reasons why we had the tipping point meeting held in Western Australia and some of the outcomes of that meeting, please, Jane.
Sure. So, Eric, resource access has always been a priority for Seafood Industry Australia. And it'd be fair to say that from my vantage point, my national vantage point over summer, I saw increasing assaults against our security of resource access for our commercial fishers. So it wasn't just Western Australia, and I need to be really clear about that, but Western Australia, I guess, provided a bit of a catalyst because it was a very acute problem and it had a very defined and discrete time frame with which it needed to be dealt with. But look, let's look at the whole of Australia. We've got erosion of our rights to fish happening basically in every state and territory. In Victoria, we've got commercial fishers being pushed out in preference for recreational fishers. We've got problems in the Northern Territory associated with access to water by needing to transition the intertidal area, which we need permits from the Indigenous community to do that, and there's been some problems with the a decision to not issue any more permits. And you know, in your state, Eric, obviously the challenges that we had last year around the Great Barrier Reef and the scalloped hammerhead was just the beginnings of showing us the way that the future could be, that by targeting certain species that inhabit the waters with commercial species that we're trying to catch, ENGOs and Greens are using this as a way to try and stop you from being able to fish. And I think, you know, at the meeting you also articulated a number of other threats connected to ENGOs and purchasing of licences. So quite clearly, right around this country, our commercial fishers are under threat from political interference, I guess, is the simplest way of putting it, that goes to the heart of the security of us being able to continue fishing. So all of this was happening, and you know, the Western Australian example was, as I guess, it really became a catalyst or a tipping point in its own right for us to say, no, this has to stop. We need to have a national meeting and work out what the hell we're going to do to try and increase security. Because without security of resource access, how can we invest? How can banks have the confidence to lend us money to invest? And then to a topic that you and I have discussed, and I know that you take very seriously, mental health of our industry. We had Tanya King's report released, again reiterating, you know, the significantly higher levels of psychological stress in commercial fishers compared to the base level in the community, base level in the community is probably the best way to express that. And one of the key reasons for that problem with psychological stress and mental health is lack of certainty and lack of security of access to resource. So I guess in a nutshell, I sat here over summer and I thought, this has got to be the biggest issue that our industry has to face, and we need to do something about it, because this onslaught is not based on science. It's not because we're not sustainable, and it's not because we've got poor fisheries management. These are political decisions based on a whole load of other social reasons.
Okay, so Ken, just for the sake of those listening, what were the numbers that attended that meeting? So I know there was a face-to-face component and some people on the line. Was it roughly 70-odd from around the country representing industry bodies and individual businesses that were connected at that meeting?
We did a bit better than that, actually, Eric. I wasn't sure how many people would turn up, and we had a room booked for 30 and we ended up with over 50 in that room. So there was a little bit of a last minute scrabble with extra chairs, and I think perhaps the teleconference facilities suffered a little because of that, because we all ended up too far away from the teleconference machine. Called a telephone, I think. But there were about 30 or so joining us by teleconference. So, you know, we think well over 80, maybe even 90 businesses and industry participants attended that meeting. And you're right, it was the length and breadth of the country. It was every fishery you could think of, every state. So we, you know, we put out a general call thinking we'd get a few people along, but I think the level of interest goes to really demonstrate the critical importance of this issue. Resource access has got to be number one. Security of resource access has got to be number one.
Yeah, and it's the reason that we formed a national peak body, is to deal with nationally significant issues, and this one seems to cut across every jurisdiction. So look, speaking from a Queensland perspective only, it's great that the meeting was held. From my perspective, as an industry advocate, there's more to do. So let's talk about outcomes of the meeting. So where to from here, Jane?
So you're correct. You know, what is the saying? One swallow doesn't a summer make. One meeting isn't going to fix this issue. We had a great win in Western Australia just days after the tipping point meeting. We can't take full credit for that, but certainly I think the solidarity showed by the rest of the industry in participating in that meeting in Fremantle I reckon it might have been a tipping point for the government, where they sort of went, well, you know, this is the whole industry across Australia is angry about this. Not to by any way demean or underplay the work done by Fishing Families Western Australia and the Western Australian Rock Lobster Council and WAFIC, of course. There were a lot of players in that. But what are the outcomes of that meeting? So there were a number of key outcomes. One was, you know, to make a really clear statement that we, as an industry, condemned the actions of the Western Australian government. We did that. The second was for us to recognise that we needed to have a united voice, that the power of that united voice was critical on an issue like this, and that indeed, you know, SIA was created, as you've said, to do exactly that, but that needs to be really well resourced. And one of the strengths of the Western Australian campaign was the fact that there were some, you know, deep pockets and people could reach into them and they could fund a campaign, and a recognition that not every fishery in Australia can do that. So we need to develop some kind of structure that's going to provide those campaign funds for all going forward. There was also recognition of the fact that we need to get closer to the community, and we have talked about this before, so this whole issue of social licence and community acceptance is really important, and SIA is already working on that through our project, which will continue to progress through 2019. We also recognised, the meeting recognised the need to get closer to our politicians, and this was really a call for everybody, not just the Erics and Janes of the world. Everybody needs to go out there and get closer to their local politician, because the better they understand us, the stronger those relationships are, the easier it is for us to shoot messages in, to be listened to, and more importantly, to be understood. Because, you know, as we've seen just this month, when some good news around science and fisheries, fish stocks gets out, nobody publishes it. If they don't publish it, if it doesn't get into the newspaper and the media, our politicians don't hear it. So we need to be going and making those relationships and delivering those messages and really being advocate for our own industry. So they were the main outcomes. Also, you know, there was a strong need to reconfirm that the security of fishing access rights is actually paramount to proper fisheries management. And to conservation and community benefit. So without proper fisheries management, which relies on us having security of access, you know, it's a race to the bottom. We've seen that in other countries with their fisheries management. So they're the things we need to do, but the real question is how do we do that? It's all very well to come up with, you know, five or six key outcomes from a meeting. So later this afternoon, we'll be putting out an email to all members of Seafood Industry Australia, inviting them to put their hands up to be part of a national task force. The details of that will be in the email, but basically we're looking to make sure that we have representation across the country, across jurisdictions, across interests, so aquaculture, wild catch and post-harvest we want at the table. We want a broad cross-section of skills. There are legislative, scientific and government relations components to securing rights, our rights, and we really welcome people to come on board with that. Bearing in mind, we've got no budget to pay for your time, we've got no budget to pay for your travel, so we'll do the meetings, I would hope, travelling around Australia so that we get to touch each jurisdiction at least once, and the others will join by teleconference to try and keep the costs down. So we really encourage people, if they think they've got those skills and they've got a lot of time and a lot of energy, we encourage them to put their hand up to be part of that task force so that we can really kick this along.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'll make sure to note that in the blurb to the podcast when it goes up online, Jane. And look, it's one step at a time. If the task force is the way to deliver what needs to be delivered, then great. And you know, really, what's our industry worth if we can't get people to put their hand up to do something about this? Then the fight's pretty much over. We need to commit, and we need to commit pretty strongly. So I can only talk from a Queensland perspective. We've seen our access rights continually eroded over the last 20 years, and we have to draw the line in the sand somewhere. Because the bigger question from my perspective, taking in everything that you've said, is do our politicians and those that enjoy our product want us to be here in the future? If the answer to that question is yes, we need to find more creative ways to engage with the two key stakeholder groups that to me are the most important, which is our seafood consuming community and the politicians, because they're the decision makers. They're the ones that respond to the community, and they don't know what they don't know, and we need to work more in that space. I'll be very interested to see where this task force can go, and it's a credit to SIA that we're kicking something like this off, because it's much needed. And look, Jane, I think this one will be definitely an ongoing conversation. As the task force starts to pan out, be good to catch up again and talk about what the task force is going to do. Maybe post its preliminary couple of meetings, we might be able to come back and touch on that stuff, as well as another podcast in relation to the pledge, because that's another one that the listeners might want to get more information around. So, Jane, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Eric, and I think you've summed it up beautifully, that ultimately this is a decision for our community. Do they want an Australian seafood industry? And if they do, they have to come and join us and fight with us.
Great. All right. Jane Lovell, CEO of Seafood Industry Australia, thank you very much.
Hey, Eric, by the way, just before we finish, it's important for people to recognise that the task force isn't the panacea. This is something that every single person in this industry needs to get involved with. And please don't think that SIA is just going to create a task force and step back from the issue. So I reiterate, everybody needs to go out and adopt a poly, make them your next, you know, your new best friend. And please, if you want to be part of the task force, jump onto that. But do remember that SIA will continue to fight. And there may well be other things in the future that we're asking you to come and help with.
All right. Thanks, Jane. So thanks, everyone, for joining us on this podcast. And we'll catch you on the next one in this ongoing series with Seafood Industry Australia.